Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Back again on the Buckhead Church Podcast, Clay Scroggins here. Just a reminder, this podcast is a resource to inspire people to follow Jesus at home and at work. I'm joined today with two, I'm not just saying this because they're here, two of my favorite people on planet Earth. My wife would agree as well. Gerald and Kylie Fadayomi, how are y'all doing today?
Come on. We are so excited to be with you today, Clay. This is amazing.
So good.
Awesome. You two have been connected to Buckhead Church for a long time. Both of you have interesting stories around that. I don't even know where to start. Kylie, should we start with you? Gerald, you? What do y'all say?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start. I actually discovered Buckhead Church when I didn't even know what a Christian was supposed to look like or was supposed to be. So I started there way, way long ago. I won't give you the year because I'll feel real old. But that's where I started small groups and learning about Jesus and Wumbleland and all the good stuff.
Yeah. You were at the time, was your profession an Atlanta Falcon cheerleader? Is that something you do? Can somebody do that full time?
Actually, the Falcons require outside jobs, so that was my good old hobby. But yeah, that was the first year that I started cheering for the Falcons. I actually started attending Buckhead Church, and that's when I discovered my first group of friends in Buckhead and in Atlanta, because I had just moved from Chicago and had no idea what this Southern style of church and lifestyle was all about. So Buckhead really helped me get settled into community and just relationship.
Yeah. Awesome. Gerald, you were sitting up in the balcony. You've told this story at Buckhead Church before, but you were sitting up in the balcony. Your relationship with God was not, it was still fairly new for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I decided to follow Jesus at Buckhead Church. It was 2010. I'd grown up going to church my whole life, but it was never a personal relationship for me. It was tradition and expectation. And then I got older and did life on my own and made some not so great decisions with my life and found myself in the back corner of Buckhead Church, listening to Andy on a screen. And my friends told me that I was not going to a real church because the pastor wasn't actually there. And I was like, no, you have no idea. And in a matter of months, I made the decision to follow Jesus and pretty much change my entire lifestyle from there.
So, and what was the, there's a How He Loves part of your story, right? Can we double click on that? Tell that part of the story.
Yeah. So I was a club promoter in Atlanta, spent a lot of time in clubs, just throwing parties, and ran into a friend of mine kind of at the worst season of my life. I had three friends who were murdered that year, one friend who had committed suicide. Wow. And I was just asking questions about what the legacy of my life would be. And she didn't really know how to help me because she was from the suburbs and had never been to a club before in her life. And so she was like, I don't really know what to tell you about
Gerald. She the only club she had been to was the Sam's Club.
Oh my goodness. Ah!
Probably. So she told me to listen to How He Loves by Crowder, and I listened to it and I thought the song was stupid, but for some reason I couldn't stop listening. And so over time it led me to ask where I could hear music like that, where I could experience worship like that. And my friends pointed me to a couple of churches in Atlanta, Buckhead Church being one of them. And so I started attending Buckhead just because of the song, How He Loves. And then that ultimately led me into a relationship with Jesus. So
that is so beautiful. Well, you've got thick Buckhead Church connections and relationships, but y'all now live a little bit further north up in the suburbs, which is totally cool. But that's not why we wanted to talk to you today. I want you to tell the story of what God's been doing in your life lately, because it is, it's just remarkable. You two ended up meeting, you ended up getting married. Jenny and I had the privilege of meeting with you as your 2-to-1 mentoring couple. And then you got pregnant which is great news. Do y'all want to pick it up from there?
Yeah, we actually met at Buckhead Church. So thank you, Buckhead, for my fine husband.
Say that again. Please, one more time. It's recorded, so I need to have audio evidence.
We can say pretty husband.
Pretty.
But yeah, we met at Buckhead and we have been married. We were married by a great pastor that most people would know.
He's average.
So Clay married us and a few years later, we found out we were pregnant and we'd actually been praying for identical twins since we got engaged and journaled about it. And later that summer, God answered our prayers in the coolest and most surprising way by revealing in an ultrasound that we were having twins.
Yeah. I specifically prayed for identical twin boys. We got girls.
Hey. I tell them that. That's
right. But I love them. So yeah, we ended up pregnant. Kylie had a pretty rough pregnancy. It was a high-risk pregnancy the entire way. I get to travel and preach at different events. And so I was at an event. I'd actually just come home. And it was the Friday that everything kind of blew up with COVID-19. And so I thought I was in the clear. I was like, I made it home right before the blow up. Everything's good. That Monday, I started feeling pretty terrible. So I drove down to the ER. Kylie was 7.5 months pregnant at that point. And so I just wanted to make sure that we were safe. So I had the coronavirus test taken. They told me it'd be 48 hours before I got my results back. And in those 48 hours, Kylie went into labor. She had been on bed rest for probably 5 months leading up to that. And so had not been driving, hadn't been really walking around the house and had to drive herself to the hospital that day because we had to stay separated from each other in case I had it. She gets down there. The doctor lets her know, hey, babies are coming like in a matter of hours. And I'm on speaker with her when he says that. So I get in the car and I just drive down there as fast as I can, really with no plan at all, just knowing that I was going to be with my wife if my babies were coming. That did not happen. I got a call from the hospital as soon as I pulled into the parking deck, and they just let me know that because of my COVID test being outstanding, that they had to not allow me into the hospital. So I'd missed the birth of my firstborn kids, which was super tough. The hospital was like so kind and gracious in it, though. The lady that we talked to, her name was Janet, and she literally cried on the phone with me as I was like losing my mind about not being able to be there with Kylie. Kylie also had to have the coronavirus test. And so when the girls were born, they were born on a Wednesday, she could not see them or hold them. It wasn't until that Friday that we were actually both able to see them when our test results came back negative. And so I went to the hospital. We spent a couple of days with them. But after those few short days, we got another call from the hospital letting us know that there was a family who was diagnosed with coronavirus and their babies were in the NICU where our girls were. And so because of that, they had to shut down the NICU indefinitely. And they would be able to FaceTime us with the girls, but we wouldn't be able to see them in person or hold them. And that lasted for 3 weeks. But were really
difficult
for us. Yeah. Some ups and downs, some days that were like, pretty depressing, honestly, days where we just lay in our girls' room on the floor and turn on worship music and not even talk to each other. It was just really hard. But we got a call actually on Good Friday, letting us know that starting Easter Sunday, we would be able to see our girls. And so Easter Sunday was the first time that we were able to see them again and hold them. And then a week later, they came home. So in the first month of their life, we saw them for 4 days. But they've been home since. So
Kylie, can we back up a second to the what were your emotions during all that? I mean, when you get the news that Gerald can't be with you during the delivery, but then also that as soon as they were born, they were rushed to the NICU. Tell us about that whole experience for you.
Yeah, so when I had to go down to get my COVID test, because initially I had no idea I was in labor. I had never been pregnant before. So naive me driving down got stuck in the only traffic in Atlanta on 285 and 400, of course, during a quarantine. And kind of chuckled to myself, wouldn't it be funny if my stomach ache was labor? And when I got there and they said, hey, you're in labor, I think I really went into shock. And from the shock, they were progressing so far or so quickly that I didn't have much time to think other than I needed to call my husband and tell him not to come because I know Gerald and I knew he would be rushing there. And I didn't think he would remember that he was a pastor and that he needed to be nice to the security guards to get in. So I think went into mom mode right away. And then from there, not being able to see the girls, actually didn't even come across my mind because, I ended up having to go under for my C-section because the, epidurals were not taking. So, I had to make the split decision to actually go under, not knowing that when I came out, I wouldn't see the girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What time were they born?
They were born at 3:35 and 3:36. So they came as fast as lightning.
Wow. And what did they weigh and what, tell everybody their names?
Yeah. So Wesley Grace was 4 pounds, 9 ounces,
4 pounds, 7 ounces,
7 ounces. Yep. And her sister Zoe Faith, was 3 pounds, 9 ounces. Yep. And we're told they were screaming into the world.
They came in loud, came in hot. So Kylie, you start waking up from the anesthesia. They start telling you what were the first things they told you? What do you remember about that experience?
Yeah. I asked if they were, crying. I was of course concerned that they were breathing okay. What else did I ask? Because I was so far under.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm sure. I
mean, you just kept asking me if they were okay.
Yeah.
And
are y'all on FaceTime at this point?
Yeah, we're on. So my mom made it to the hospital. Both of our moms rushed there. My mom made it there like 5 minutes before her mom. We tried to switch them out. They wouldn't let us. And so my mom was FaceTiming me and kind of giving me updates the whole way through. And so we were on FaceTime when she first came out of anesthesia. And she was just like, are they okay? How much did they weigh? And then other than that, you know, it was just kind of shock and pain, honestly, coming out of the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
physical pain, emotional pain, all of the above?
I think a huge combination of both.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, your story, so many people tracked with it on Instagram, on Facebook, and there were just so many people praying for the health because at the time you were in limbo a little bit, right? Because of you didn't have all the results at that point. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's totally right.
Yeah. So when the girls were born, neither of us knew if we had COVID or not. And this was so early on that they still don't really know how it affects babies,
right?
How likely it is that they'll get it. We didn't know if it could be transferred by birth. And so there was just a lot going on for us that we just didn't know how it would all work. And what's actually kind of interesting that we're still kind of processing through and waiting for the antibody test to come out is the trip that I was on, 5 of the other guys who I was with all ended up testing positive for coronavirus. So we're not even sure, 100% sure that we didn't have it. We think we might have, you know, so it was, yeah, there's a lot of unknown there, a lot that we're still kind of wrestling through and trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit, the thing that I respect about both of you so much is that not only were you just real honest with your emotions in everything you posted, but you also, we talked a couple weeks ago at Buckhead Church on about Psalm 13 and that huge shift that David goes through where he's begging God, how long? Why is this happening? But then he quickly shifts his perspective to God's faithfulness and God's unfailing love. And I feel like you both embodied that just at least in what you wrote. I'm sure you had moments where you didn't feel that way all the time, but tell us a little bit about what your experience with God was like during that time. And what did you learn about him during those couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think there's kind of 3 questions that I've been processing as it relates to like challenges, adversity, and what we were just walking through. The first is kind of what's in our control. And there were definitely moments where we would find ourselves really frustrated about the things that we couldn't control. And those are the posts that like you don't really post because you don't know if you can post them cleanly or if people will understand. But there are definitely moments where we're wrestling with like there are things that are concerning us that we can't do anything about. And we know the scripture tells us to give them to God, but it's hard to do it in the moment, you know? And so oftentimes we'd have to go on a walk and go, okay, like what's in our control right now? What can we do around the house? What are the things that we can focus on until the girls can get here? And let's trust God with the things that are outside of our control.
Gerald, that's so helpful. Focusing on what is under my control, what is not under my control, and really trying to trust him with those things that aren't. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. The other is like, how is God growing us in this? And we just made a decision in the 3 weeks that we could not see our girls that we were going to try to be for each other and grow together as much as possible. And so there were nights that we'd sit and just play Battleship on the couch and try to grow together in it. We had some other friends who were really wrestling. And so we took an hour every day and we would pray for a friend of ours who was in the hospital who had a heart attack and had coronavirus. And so we would just try to use that season to allow God to grow some things and to develop some things in us. And again, like, it's easy to say all of this in hindsight while we're in the middle of it. It sucked and it was really hard. Mm-hmm. But these questions like are things that we think kind of helped us get through it. So what was in our control? How is God using this to grow us? And then the last one, and I'll let Kylie kind of talk to this one, is who can we help because of this, right? And so we're in the middle of a very difficult season, a very difficult circumstance. But one of the things that we've just kind of learned is when we can take our eyes off of us and look to the people around us, it makes it a little bit easier to walk through the pain and the hurt that we're walking through. And so Kylie had this really great idea. We were on the couch one night about how we could be helpful to some people around us. I'll let her talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we are really grateful for everyone who's reached out and tried to help us or offered a service or just a helping hand or prayer. But a lot of people are asking for meal trains. And our doctor unfortunately said, hey, this is not safe to let other people provide that kind of service for you right now. And immediately I thought, well, why can't we provide for the people who are loving on and helping our kids grow in the NICU right now? Mm-hmm. So we turned our meal train into a meal train for the nurses, the staff, the cleaners, every single person that was working on the seventh floor at Northside. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to make sure that they knew that they're risking their lives to save our family and to serve mm-hmm. our little kiddos. So we were able to just, Gerald set up on social media a tiny post that said, who can help serve our nurses and staff? And from there, we served 9 days worth of food for an entire service department at Northside.
Yeah, 30 nurses, all of the custodial staff, and some of the doctors we were able to provide lunch for 9 days. And we don't like tell that story to brag on us because honestly, like we couldn't afford doing that. It was our community and our friends that jumped in to help us with that. But what was really cool was a call from one of the nurses Kylie was on the phone with, and she was just like, hey, thanks so much, you know, for providing lunch for us. You guys have no idea how much of a help that is. And she kind of was asking like, what do y'all do that allows you to do that? And Kylie like jokingly was like, we don't have money. My husband's a pastor. Like we're fine, but we're not like rich, you know?
We ball hard. We pretty much ball hard. That's what we do.
All right. So Kylie goes, you know, it was our community that did it. And she goes, okay, but like, what kind of community are you a part of? And she goes, oh, well, you know, like we're Christians and we all go to church and, you know, so it was like our friends wanted to be a blessing to us. And we felt like maybe we could be a blessing to you. And she goes, okay, well, like, what church do you go to? And, you know, for us, it's like, we don't know if she's ever going to actually attend our church. We don't know if she's ever going to watch online. But what we do know is she would have never had a chance to ask us that question had Kylie not, in the middle of our difficulty, gone, hey, like, who can we help because of what we're going through? Like, who has God positioned us to be a help to in the middle of our hurt? And so it was hard. It was a struggle. But we've seen God do some pretty cool things through it all.
Yep.
I love the three questions, Gerald. That's such a great framework to think through, is what is under my control? What is God trying to teach me? And then what can I do to help others? Because the question most of us want to ask in the middle of all that is, why me? And God, how can you make this stop? Which is natural. I mean, that's what all of us are prone to wonder, is when is the pain going to end and why me? I just love that simple little framework and the fact that you decided to take the spotlight, the little spotlight that you had for that one moment, and shine it on someone else is just a remarkable reflection of what God has done for us, that he's provided for us in that way. And the least we could do is try to shine that light, shine that love on other people as well. If people want to stay in touch with the two of you, or maybe want to learn more about your story, want to learn a little bit more about the two of you, what would you point them to?
Yeah, I mean, social media, my name is so hard to spell, but Gerald Fediomi on social media, Kylie Fad on Instagram. We started doing like a weekly email just to like inspire people and remind them that there's hope. And so we talk about little parts of our story, but just also what we're learning from God in it. And so about 6,000 people every week get an email from us, just encouraging them and letting them know that, God's on their side and there's hope and there's a way forward. And we try to give some like tangible action steps to move forward and what we're all facing and wrestling through right now as well. So
I love it. Can they find all that on your social media as well?
Yeah. Yeah. If they just go to the link in my bio, there is hope is the name of the email list and there's a link to it right there. So
I love that. Well, any last things that you'd want to say to anybody listening who's maybe dealing with, you know, nobody's got a story quite like your story, where you've got these two beautiful little babies now, but you've gone through feels like hell and back to get to where you are. Yeah. Anything you'd say to somebody who's facing their own challenges, their own discouragement today?
Yeah, I think I would just say like those three questions are not unique to our story. Those three questions are helpful for adversity, period. And so like we're all going to face challenges and trials of some sort, right? But the pause in the middle and go, okay, what's in my control? How is God using this to grow me? Who can I help because of this? I think that's just helpful. And I think it allows us to do what James said in James 1, right? That we can consider it pure joy when we face trials of any kind because it'll produce perseverance in us. And that perseverance leads to a mature and complete faith. And so my hope in asking those questions is that ultimately it'll make us better followers of Jesus. And so I just challenge all of us to slow down while we face something difficult and ask the questions that can help us grow for sure.
Oh, go ahead, Kylie.
No, I would just say transparency and reaching out even in the time of quarantine. And even after we extend after this is all over, I've just found transparency just because you consider yourself Christian or considering what this whole Jesus following could be. Transparency is key. We're not perfect. Our story is not perfect. We're not following those three points perfectly. But if we can share where, not just with each other, but with our neighbors or our friends and family over FaceTime, it really will help us to find the hope.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Clay, I know we're well over time, but I also just wanted to say to you, you've been just such an incredible support, a friend, mm-hmm. a pastor, a leader that we look up to and respect. And so we wouldn't be able to get through things like this if we didn't have people like you in our corner. And so, and so we just wanted to say thank you to you and to your wife, just for the way that since we've been together, the way that you guys have loved us and invested in us. There's so many things that I could talk about. We'd have to do like 6 podcasts to talk about all the ways that you've been a support to me and to Kylie. And so we just wanted to publicly take a moment to say thank you. We're really, really grateful for you and for the way that you've loved us well.
Well, that's sweet of you to say, but you two are easy to love and you are, the way you've handled this situation is just remarkable. I hope that, I really do hope that this message gets to a lot of people because I just feel like we all, have so many things to learn from what you've done. So thank you. Kylie, anything you want to say about Gerald's skin?
Oh my goodness. Is he not so good looking? Oh, Simon.
That was my favorite part.
Thank you, Mel, but to see how good looking. And
my favorite part of doing 2-to-1 mentoring with this couple was every 30 minutes, Kylie would just stop and go, "You are so good looking," which is just so great. So thank you.
Pretty skin.
Oh, I love you two so much. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your story. Thanks for lending your voice to our church.
Thank you, Clay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.